Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awake Now What with your host, Rhonda Smith. To be part of the show, call in at 646-716-8988. Now, on to your host, Rhonda Smith.
Awake.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awake Now What. Tonight we have Dr. Lori Moore, a multidimensional person. How you doing, Lori?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm very happy to be back on your show. Thank you.
Yeah, we're glad to have you, too. Now, we talked ahead of time, so one of the things that we were talking about was people trusting themselves.
Yes.
And where are we going to go with that?
It's a very important time at this juncture in history that we learn to listen very deeply to what our own inner answers are. And what is wanting to happen, in my opinion, is that the collaboration of a variety of different viewpoints coming together to create new answers to ongoing planetary and personal challenges is the opportunity. So rather than turning to authorities, leaders for our answers, we turn to people in those roles for our inspiration, and we begin to listen carefully to what we feel guided to contribute, and we trust that our contribution doesn't need to be in disagreement or agreement with anyone. We are being asked by life itself to find new ways to bring our many different and beautiful viewpoints together into new harmonies and new solutions we have yet to discover.
Ah, so we're going back to group consciousness function, keyword being group.
Keyword being group that respects individual, yes.
Right.
So all the individuality is needed, but rather than being in rebellion and adolescence towards each other, which means ourselves, it's more of an adulthood where we are being asked to find out how can we have different perspective and different experience and understand that's good, that's valuable, and it can be brought together for new solutions.
Yeah, I agree. And it's interesting because I think it comes down to if we stop playing mine is better than yours is.
Yes. Yes. If we can let go of one up or one down or who's better or who's worse and that way of thinking, which is starting to happen for many people naturally, softer, gentler transformations are occurring and people find themselves thinking more in terms of, oh, that person's perspective is extremely valuable. It's different than mine. And it doesn't mean I need to abandon mine. I can contribute mine, but look how much more I have to offer when I bring it together with that other perspective that offers a whole new glance into things.
Yeah, I think that's essentially the way we need to go, but there's so much stuff like, well, I'm right, you know, and I understand that I'm right. You know, I've dealt with that. I'm still dealing with it. And the thing is, doesn't it sort of force us to sort of think outside the box?
Yes. This of which I speak is a practice. And so sometimes grace comes and we begin to evolve and we find ourselves more curious and intrigued and respectful towards many viewpoints. And sometimes our edges are pushed and we react and say, I'm right or I'm wrong. And then we can just take a breath and sit back and say to ourselves, well, perhaps it's not a matter of right or wrong. Perhaps something new is trying to be born. And if I can sit with the different feelings, the different perspectives, something new will be born in me and those with whom I'm coming into contact.
Yeah, very much so. It's just amazing to me because I, by nature, am one of those kind of people that I want everybody's opinion, because I know we're going to end up with something bigger than all of us.
That's a beautiful way to be, yes, wonderful.
And, you know, I might not agree with their opinion, you know. I might think they're absolutely loony, But that doesn't mean I'm not going to consider it.
And that's wonderful that you're willing to consider different opinions and that you even invite them in and wish to hear them.
Yeah, and the thing is, people hesitate to give their opinions. Any ideas?
Some people are very comfortable and always have an opinion on the tip of their tongue, and others, for whatever conditioning, history, personality traits, are more reticent to share an opinion, and that's okay. Everyone has opinions, and comfort can develop, and then more opinions can be shared. Sometimes people can be quiet because someone else does share their opinion, has already spoken it, and there's no need to second it. It's one person might speak. If you have 100 people in a room, one person might speak, and 10 people or even more, sometimes a lot more, might feel that person has spoken on behalf of them, and then there'll be others who have a very different perspective.
Right. Yeah, that's one thing I have found, you know, in teaching classes and stuff like this, is people hesitate to ask questions, and I keep telling them, you ask your question. There's no stupid question except the one you don't ask.
I agree completely. Questions are very important. When a question arises in our heart, in our mind, we can bet that others have a similar question or the same question, mm-hmm. and when we speak out the question, we're opening a door for answers for everyone. So I am all in favor of questions also.
Yeah, and it's just, you know, you sit there as a teacher, you know, nobody's got any questions. And you go, I know I'm good, but I know I'm not that good. Yeah, somebody had to not understand something, you know?
So it can happen that there can be a particular room full of people who aren't feeling inclined to ask questions, and then we need to ask questions. What might be shifted in our presentation? What might we offer or say to them that would bring in more comfort with asking their questions?
Yep, definitely. But that's the dynamic, I think, of what we're building. Is getting people, well, first getting them out of their comfort zone and creating a new comfort zone.
Yes, and when a new comfort zone is being created and there's confusion and the new ways are coming and people aren't sure what they are and what the rules are and there's much more of a mixing of many different backgrounds and cultures, which is absolutely wonderful today in many parts of the world, but there's confusion. People aren't quite sure what are the rules, what's appropriate. It has to all be recreated and made up and discovered. So in times of unknown, there might be a period where people need quiet and just aren't quite ready to speak and are still contemplating things over in their own self and later have more to share. It's a time of confusion for many. It's a time of great clarity for many. It's a very poignant time in history.
Yes, it is. And the thing is, a lot of times I think the confusion is necessary because it brings stuff up. And at the same time, it makes people address those issues. You know, is this really what you believe? And it sort of brings it into your face.
Good point. It does bring it up. It's like changes in the body. When we reach adolescence or we reach menopause, either of those periods, the body becomes so different that sometimes the viewpoint becomes confused for a while. And so we're like that. We're reaching such a new period that, I mean, I think the human species is a very young species. There's been survivors in other species, ants, for example, all kinds of animals, sea animals, land animals, air animals, much longer than us. And so I think we're coming out of our adolescence and we're confused. And we've, in our excitement and desire to do wonderful things on the planet, we've made a big mess. By mistake, with good intentions, not everyone has good intentions. I think most people do have good intentions. And, you know, well-meaning, we've gone way ahead of what our resources can provide. We're using them up too much, and that doesn't apply to all places. It's especially true in our country. And so we need to love ourselves and forgive ourselves. And notice it does feel uncomfortable, and we don't know what to do, and we don't want to destroy the human species and the other species with it at all. And we're not sure what the answers are. We're running fast, and if we don't slow down, we'll be slowed down. You know, we'll burn out our resources, we'll go. But I have great hope. There's so much goodness and so many people I meet. I have great hope that at this, you know, final hour that we can turn around and find new ways, find new answers, find new programs in all areas of life.
Yeah, well, this is the thing. I mean, it's sort of like a philosophy class I took. And it's really interesting because the final exam was, why do we study philosophy? And the A answer was, why not? And the B answer was, because.
That's a really interesting perspective to look into, the different perspectives of we do because why not, or we do because.
Mm-hmm.
That's
exactly.
A big topic. Yeah.
And the whole thing is, you know, it's about, yes, we are writing the rule book. You know,
yeah.
We did this millennia ago.
Yeah.
Time to do it again.
Yeah, and in the perspective of why not or because, we could bring joy and peace and harmony, why not? Or we could bring joy and peace and harmony because other characteristics of life that we have brought are not pleasing anyone. War is not pleasing anyone. Disharmony is not pleasing anyone. So I think no matter whether someone's asking why not or looking for because, maybe we are all on the same page about this.
Mm-hmm. I think we are, and it's just people have to become aware of it, you know, because the awareness is the big thing.
Awareness and inspiration. I was very inspired yesterday. I learned about a program, it's called Zeno Mountain Camp, I'm not sure, but I found out about it from my sister, and it's communities and schools for art and film and drama and many different experiences of life. But who's running it and creating it are people with and without disabilities. So I watched one of their movies, and I was so happy. And they've really made some beautiful programs in many places in the United States. And they're communities of people with and without disabilities working together, and they're learning so much, and they're coming up with such beautiful perspectives from bringing everybody's unique contribution. And to me, it was an inspiration because I thought, well, that's kind of what it's time to do with everyone, to bring everyone of all kinds of ways together, to start to look to those we forgot to ask for solutions.
Mm-hmm.
Because people who have lived with bodies that have disabilities since birth have such wisdom, and the animals have such wisdom, and the plants have such wisdom, and, you know, people and animals and plants that we sometimes forget to ask for the wisdom are sometimes the ones who have the most wisdom. So I'm inviting all of us to start, notice who you don't ask for advice, who you're least likely to look to, and ask them, because they probably have something very wise for you. Someone who you've judged as, you know, their viewpoint, maybe their political viewpoint differs from yours, but maybe, even though that's the case, they have some wisdom for you that would be very balancing. So I'm asking myself to start listening to anyone I wasn't listening to enough.
A very good point. Yeah, because we tend to judge without really thinking about it.
Yeah.
And generalize and stereotype and do all those other things. But the simple fact of the matter is each individual is an individual. We have spent millennia developing that individuality as an expression of source. So why not use it?
Yes, yes. This archetype of judgment, which seems to permeate the human being and not the animals, is something I've looked into a lot, because it's actually what I consider my worst struggle, this incarnation, is struggling with my own judgments. And one way that I've dealt with that is if I find my mind falling into judgment about anyone, instead I pray for them. And that takes my mind back into, for me, that takes me personally back into deep respect and reverence and curiosity about others. You know, everyone's different. I have one friend who said he also struggles with judgment, and he puts his, when he finds his mind doing that, he puts it into gratitude for others, and that's how he, but it's something that seems to be part of all human beings, and so it is something we have to work with individually inside ourselves. And of course, collectively, when we come together, the reason I love holding the seminars and teleseminars with people from all different lifestyles, cultures, backgrounds, countries, religions, no religions, spiritual path, belief, is because then that gives us the opportunity to address our prejudices, even if they're really subtle and we don't notice them, and find new ways to love one another, which is natural. Actually, when we're together in a kind of environment that fosters that, the love comes naturally and we start to see how silly our judgments are. But we sometimes, we need the experience. We need the life experience to be among each other in new ways that bring about our respect for one another.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Kathy just made a comment. People don't ask questions or express their opinion a lot of times if they're insecure and afraid of judgment.
Yeah, that's a really good comment. And we can't blame people if they've experienced so much judgment in their lifetime that they start to not talk. I can tell you honestly, being someone who's out in public in the media a lot, I've actually at times considered just becoming completely silent and not talking, because sometimes I get tired of judgment, even the good judgment. It's just like, okay, I'm great, I'm horrible, but can we get beyond that?
Yeah, can we get to the issue, please? Yeah.
And I'm guilty of the same thing. I do the same thing to teachers and leaders. You know, I meticulously judge at times what they're saying, and it needs forgiveness. This thing that humans do, we need to love ourselves and forgive ourselves and then look for new ways when we're doing the judgment path.
Yeah, I figure, you know, sometimes I will do judgment. I do not deny that. But we all do judgment. I mean, you make a judgment in the morning about what clothes to wear to work.
Yes.
You know, it's when you let that practice end up judging other people
there's a difference between discretion and figuring out, well, this person would be working in my office will help my office, and this other person working in my office is going to hinder things. That's kind of discretion. But if it turns into, well, this person's better than that person, well, no, they're not, just one's more suited to work here, for example. And
yeah.
So it's, we're talking about when our innate ability to have discretion, which is a good thing, turns into a foolish idea that we have a capacity to make comment on anyone's worth, or that we really know what they're all about. Because I think somebody can be doing their life path and in a very private way, working out all kinds of things and contributing. And we might see one flaw and then jump to conclusion about that person. And the flaw is like, you know, a little sunflower seed thrown into a whole river. The person's the river. We happen to see a sunflower seed and then we think we know who they are, but we don't.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so true. Because everybody, you know, it's this projection thing.
Yeah.
And one of the things I had to learn relatively early on was, do not expect your projections on another person to bear the same fruit, because it won't. They're a different person.
That's a very beautiful thing to say, because we each have certain criteria that we're aspiring towards that has to do with our own personal learning curves, our background, our conditioning, our aspirations, where we need to grow, where we're going to contribute, where our strengths and weaknesses are. And so if we try to fit someone else into our own path, it doesn't work. We're all contributors in very different ways.
Yep.
With you on that, yes.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, it's a hard road to walk, because you've got to get to that point that you can step back and say, okay, you know, this is my path, this is their path, and look at the places where you can come together.
Yes,
instead of looking at how it's separate?
Yes, yes. Yeah, I just had an experience with a friend that I really have a lot of respect and love for. And in her background, she was raised to believe that whatever's supposed to happen will happen. And it's very deep in her way of being. And I was raised that if you want something to happen, you offer yourself to it. You offer yourself to the grace of its happening. You take action. You make yourself a vehicle. And so I found it challenging to work on a project with her because I would want to have things happen, and then this energy would stall things. And in my experience, so I had to look at, why is this person in my life? What kind of balance is trying to happen here? So I see her now as a teacher for me, someone to temper my fiery nature with some lake-like stillness and just allow some, keep giving, but also just allowing. And so I'm sure we came together to balance each other.
Exactly. Yeah. Kathy asks, how have you seen the animal behaviors changing during this time?
I feel that the animals are very alert to potential changes in the planet, the ecology. They understand. It's nothing different for them. They're available. They are aware that more people are willing to listen and talk to them. I feel they're just going about life as always, and their brilliance and their enlightenment and their willingness and availability.
Great. Yeah, I just animals are wonderful things, and people so treat them like second-class citizens, you know.
More and more people are in great respect and awe and service to animals. Because of my work, I meet people all over the world who love animals, who care for animals, who do all kinds of good to support and serve animals. And I hope that those who don't understand that animals are souls just like us, living in different kinds of bodies with different kinds of wisdom and intelligence, but in my experience, a far more sophisticated and developed intelligence, I pray for everyone to come to that awareness. It's a beautiful awareness that takes one into deep connection with love and universal source.
They're a great example for being in the now.
Yes.
Just say, watch them.
Yes. I remember Eckhart Tolle was commenting that he lived with 3 Zen Buddhists, and then he said they were cats.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, animals are very gifted at present time. They live in present time. Humans have a witness that can speed way ahead of present time, so it's an opportunity to bring oneself back into the now through the heart. And animals, I don't know any animals that aren't already there permanently.
Yep, exactly. Just watch your animals, folks. Okay, we have a phone call here from area code 408. 408, are you there?
Yes.
And you are?
Hello. Manu.
Hello.
Martinez. Hi.
Martinez.
Both
Hi,
of you.
Meet Dr. Lori.
Hi, who
Hi,
am
Lori.
I speaking to?
Thank you for the invite. I've been listening. I just jotted down some notes, and some of the issues that I have trouble with dealing with, let's call it an obstacle in my life, and that would be the whole concept of right and wrong. let's talk about wrong, for me, when I see homelessness versus people that have a lot, I, for some reason, think that's wrong. But say a lot of people don't agree with me, I'm playing that drum. I'll explain that later. But then another wrong to me is when I see drug abuse like a self, like a void that people have, and so you take drugs to, it's told to us to take drugs sometimes, but you get addicted, and and then you see people that are younger that cannot make those decisions for themselves, that they're being told that is okay, here, buy some of this drug, and then they become addicted. So I think you know what I'm saying. So then it comes to the point where the way I grew up is that, you know, kind of like it's gotten to the point where I don't want to get involved because let the cops do it or let the politicians do it and those type of things. So, and then let's talk about right. I think it would be right for me to tell the drug person that's selling to a young person and get in front of their face and say, this is not right. But, of course, you mentioned, you know, that that person may think it's right. You know, we all have our different rights and wrongs. So who am I to tell someone what is right and wrong? I guess the only thing I could think of if they were doing it to my children, is it okay to protect my child from a person that, let's say, wants to give my kids drugs, and then I say no, and then, you know, it's kind of
These are very important and good questions, Manu, and I realized right after you called, there was some static, but now I know it's you I'm talking to, and I'm so happy you called in. And I want to address this with three different important topics related to this. First of all, there's developmental stages through which the human being understands life. And reports by Ken Wilber, who went and studied the human being in many, many different cultures, showed that, and using many different studies that he compared, showed that universally the human species goes through different developmental stages. So there is a developmental stage where we see things as right or wrong, and I don't want to deny that stage is valid. It is valid, and it's part of our growth. And there's many different stages. I'm not going to comment on all of them today, but there's also a stage where we look at the situation individually and decide what would be the most harmonious for all involved to the best of our ability as we know it and operate from that. Now, at the same time, we're also operating from the characteristics of personal involvement. So each person has different purposes, contributions they're here to make, and so each person has to determine where they want to put their energy and involvement. And then we're also dealing with ethics. So when I'm saying a perspective isn't necessarily right or wrong, I'm thinking when we're above the line of bad ethics. So I'm going to say when we're talking about hurt and pain and drug use and murder and, you know, acts that definitely cause harm, then the whole perspective of right and wrong needs to be brought in, because we owe it to take care of children. We owe it to take care of elders. We owe it to take care of animals. We've been given servanthood on the planet. I speak from my own belief system and perspective here. So when it comes to ethics, of course, some things are very tricky because some people say something's bad and some people say it's good. When I was speaking before, I'm thinking about creating solutions. So if we're thinking about creating a solution to a planetary problem and we're all agreeing on the good welfare for all is what's most important, from there we'll have different perspectives, but anyone starting with that basic viewpoint is going to have a perspective that's created to serve and to bring goodness. But when we're arguing about perspectives on, you know, lower ethics, like is it ever right to kill some? Is it ever right to rob or kill? Then it's a different story. When we're going more into the realms of the darkness, then I do believe we need to do what we can to provide goodness and provide structures that create goodness. But I say provide structures because, of course, I can walk up to anyone and say, don't do that. You know, you're going to hurt yourself. You take that crystal meth and your life's going to be gone and you're going to hurt a lot of other people. Well, whoever's taking the crystal meth doesn't care to hear from me. Who am I? But if I, if that person has decided to come into my office, that young person, and talk about their life and open up to me and we can get into more discussions that can support them and build their self-esteem and build their goodness, they might make different choices.
Yeah, I'd like the concept of the, I guess, the when you mentioned where we start off, you know, like an awareness of being well for our whole planet and everything that is given to us. I guess if we go from there, we want the that wellness. Well, one of the things that also came up about awareness and inspiration, and let's say that we just keep going the path we're going. You said that you relate to animals and these animals. Well, to me, you know, living in the Sierras for a little bit, because I wanted to find out what loneliness was. Well, I didn't find loneliness being alone. So, but what I did find out when I was there is nature has by itself a way of telling us everything that we need to know. I mean, if we eat the fruit from the earth, I'm not trying to sound like a spiritual, you know, I'm just saying if we eat food from where? From outer space or from the earth? The air that we breathe, the water that we drink, we need all those things. The sun that comes down. But if we just look at the animals and even the plants. And I even had an argument with one of my buddies from Oregon about, I even see that even the dirt has energy and we should take care of that inert on living thing. But in a way, it is a sort of energy that is alive in a different level than we even know. So then the thing about awareness and inspiration. An example to me that I see human beings, and you've seen it in your lifetime, is when a catastrophe happens. A human catastrophe, or to like where the Mother Earth does an earthquake or a tidal wave or those type of things. If you've ever been in a riot before, personally I have. Not that I created it, I was in it, and people were acting weird. But I noticed that there were other people that knew exactly what to do not to create or be in that energy. So when I think of catastrophes, I think Mother Earth has its own protection of its life. We're just like a part of Earth, and so if we don't take care of Mother Earth, don't worry about it. Mother Earth is going to take care of herself. I just got the gut feeling. So, but I'll leave it at that. Yeah, I know you could. I know you have something good to say. I do know that.
Thank you. Well, you always have something wonderful to say, so I'm so happy you called in. And I'm in full agreement with you. You know, the Romano gypsies talk to the earth. They consider their life to be in service to the earth, the dirt, the plants, the elements. And many, many cultures have, but many modern cultures have forgotten that and think that everything's in service to us. So as we give ourselves in service back to all these other species, I do find there's protection. There is protection. A fire can sweep by, and how come some people make it and some don't? Not because anyone was bad. Maybe it's someone's time to go and not someone else's, but sometimes there's a lesson involved. On Easter Island, I think it's called Rapa Nui, and forgive me if I'm pronouncing it wrong, there were...
You got it.
I got it right. Okay, now I don't remember the name of the people, but there were tribes who got very invested in their ego, which is where the United States is right now. We're very invested in our ego. And there became this big competition where putting resources into building big godlike statues was more important than just taking care of the basics. And they, in time, depleted their resources and themselves in the process. There's different populations there now. It's a beautiful place. But that's what's happening right now. We're so mixed up. I'm talking about the United States because it's where I live, so I can comment on the United States more than any other place. And we're also a power that's used up most of the planetary resources, so we owe it to go back to service now, to be servants, to do what we need, figure out what we need to do. And we're all perplexed about what that is, but to change what's happening on the globe. I found that I've observed people a lot, and you know, you can find a few people in the same room in very different realities. And the Mother Earth and the Sun and this universal source does give protection. When there's a lot of love and prayer, you can see, or it doesn't have to be formal prayer, but a lot of positiveness, a lot of addressing of the self, a lot of dissolving of the ego, sometimes you'll see pretty magic things happening around yourself and others, and someone right next to you can be having very other circumstances. And sometimes I know for myself, a new layer of my ego will come up, and the circumstances have to get pretty bad and tight around me for the universe to get a hold of me. And then when the universe gets a hold of me, everything changes. So I do believe that the Mother Earth and will... She's going to live, and there'll be species on her that survive. I'm praying that we find ways. I'm hoping that all the species that are here today can survive. But that doesn't look hopeful given some of the choices. We're going to be like potentially like Rapa Nui, what happened to those tribes in Rapa Nui, unless we start really changing our ways, and everyone on this phone is changing ways, and everyone listening mostly, and millions of people are wanting to change ways, and we're I think that in itself can bring huge amounts of light and love and new designs into what's happening. And you brought up a lot of really important topics, and I hope that has addressed some of it.
I just had one more question, but go on. You're the boss.
Well, yeah. Basically, just a couple of things, like you were talking about right and wrong.
Yes.
I learned a long time ago that what is right in one culture is not necessarily right in another. So what I did with that whole concept was, okay, is this something that is productive? It's helping people to grow. It's helping people to change, to use their resources more effectively, whatever. Is what they're doing productive for them? If it is, it's right. I don't care what the society or the moral ethic of the particular country says. Okay? If it's something that's counterproductive, then it's wrong. And that is how you move forward. You know, is this productive or is it counterproductive? Get rid of right and wrong. And once you do that and use that as a valuation tool for yourself, then you begin moving forward. And in that process, you move the whole group forward. Okay? The other thing is, going up to somebody who is selling drugs. Now, I'm so sorry, but I'm not interested in getting killed. So the ethical thing to do is to call the police as you're seeing it, so that they can come and they can take care of it, because that's their job. You know, it's not your job to take off the drug dealers. And that works. I mean, I know, like in Baltimore, Maryland, they are very community-oriented anyway, and they just took back their neighborhoods one by one because all of the parents would watch. And when a drug dealer showed up, they called the cops. Drug dealers don't come there anymore. The other thing is ethics and morality. Okay? Here's a good way to remember it. An ethical man and a moral man, most know it's incorrect to cheat on their wife. Okay? The ethical man won't do it. Ethics are internal. It's integrity to yourself. Morality is set up by the culture or the religion or the whatever. So those are some tools you can use.
Thank you. I wanted to comment on that. I'm with you about is it productive or non-productive, or is it harmonious or disharmonious, because then instead
right.
of dividing ourselves into, well, this is right and this is wrong, which immediately causes a lashback in any direction,
mm-hmm.
we can start to look at, is this harmonious in the particular time and place? Like you were saying, what's right or wrong for one culture isn't the same for another culture, and culture can be country, it can be group, it can be family, and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know, there's a lot of around drugs today, you know, I've just seen the most horrific things. I personally am not of the camp that some of the drugs that were used to open people's eyes into deeper love and peace temporarily in the 60s were horrible. I just speak for myself. And what I also want to say is mistakes are to be... let's assume we're going to make mistakes. We're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to... We will all make mistakes, and so part of being human is to say, oh, I made an error. I thought that would be good, or, oh, you know what? I did something really selfish, and it's ended up hurting somebody, and I'm very sorry, and I will, with everything I have in myself, not do something like that again. And I've had many people come to my counseling office and say, you know, I made a mistake. I had no idea my selfish act would hurt someone else so much, and it won't happen again. So we're always on a learning curve, and forgiveness and love are very wonderful to keep at heart in all times.
Yeah, I don't want to add to that.
I like
mistake.
That.
Yeah, I want to add to that mistake thing, too, because remember, we're all, especially now, creating a new game plan. We're flying by the seat of our pants. And the one thing that you can guarantee is that you're going to step wrong, okay? And that's fine. You know, don't beat yourself up about it. Because look at it this way. If you never make mistakes, you're just doing the same thing you've done before because you know how to do it. But if you make a mistake, you're learning something.
Very well put. Thank you. Linda and Charlie Bloom put out a book recently about highly successful marriages, how they define successful marriages, or people were married at least 15 years, but most of the couples they interviewed 30 or more, and both members of the relationship felt they were very happy and content with each other. All of these couples said that they had gone, almost, I would say 90% said they had gone through extremely challenging times, times when they did things they regret. Infidelity happened in a lot of the couples, you know, in couples that had a monogamous relationship agreement. And so I'm in full agreement with you that we're going to make mistakes, not only as we create a new world, but we've been making mistakes since we were born. That's part of just being human. And so forgiveness and love are always wonderful. And great teacher.
Oh, yeah.
Great teacher.
Yeah, and the first step is love yourself and forgive yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And from that comes love and forgiveness. Go ahead. Yeah.
My last kind of concept or my question is that this is something that's current for me, and I've been doing this with other people, listening to where their problems are, or they consider it problems. I don't see it as it's a problem to them. So as a person, I'll listen, and then I'll give them my best opinion of how to get through that obstacle. Now, let's say, for instance, I think obstacles to me are kind of like just as much as making a mistake. It's how we deal with those obstacles, and I love the way you say harmonious. With, you know, instead of reacting to a problem, and to learn how to accept that obstacle and learn from it and not react to it and just be slow with it and get as much out of it but still move on. I've been noticing during these struggling times right now, you know, and it's not the first time I've seen it, and it's not the first time I've ever been in it, and that's the whole thing about the economy. I was warning people already that these houses are going too high, but I saw a lot of people loving it because they were making lots of money. And so the value of money, basically, what I see is it's an obstacle for people to change. And it's just one thing, you know, it could be money, it could be drugs or whatever, but the value that one takes as the most important, pretty much that is the obstacle of change. And I love when you say harmony. Harmony is really important. Okay, so let me step back a little bit on these obstacles.
Okay, do you want to find another spot? Because we're getting a lot of garble.
Okay, I'll call again. How's that?
Okay.
Okay, good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Very good questions.
I wanted to say that the Success Love Now program, which I teach by teleconference, people sign up for 8 weeks at a time, or else they'd simply purchase a very inexpensive audio tape at success-love-now.com. It's a very simple 8-step process that I've created from working with people all over the world and really looked into a lot of different spiritual practices, religions, philosophies, and found something that I think everyone holds true in common. And this 8-step process, someone can take 15 minutes during their day, address any kind of problem, personal, professional, community, global, and come from a different place by the end of the 15 minutes. They're simple. They can be used by any age group. I would say maybe any age group over 5, but they're very good for adults. And so I inspire and suggest people to look at success-love-now.com, where you can learn this process either by the audio or joining in a teleconference where people call in from all over and support each other as they learn the steps.
That is great. Okay, we have a call from area code 410. Are you there?
Yes, can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Okay, good. Yes,
this is Regina, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes, we, I think, answered my question, but I wanted to see how it fits in a specific context. When you talked about what's right in one culture is not considered right or appropriate in another, and I'm finding myself feeling called to do some scriptural study in the Bible to gain a certain understanding of my spiritual gifts. The issue around that is I'd rather do it in a community, you know, like a church or something, and where I live, the conventional, with the exception of one person, the conventional approach is, you know, quotes around conventional, approach is what seems to be what's emphasized, and what's included in that conventional approach that I'm having trouble reconciling is the metaphysical, you know, like whether it's mediumship or channeling or whatever you want to call it, they view that as wrong.
So what you want to do is follow your calling, which you are, and you want to take what supports you and leave the rest and be a creator. So you might be bringing something new to these arenas. If they're not interested, you might be there just to learn in your own way. And I interviewed Rua Bull, who went through something similar because of her mystical orientation. And you can listen to the interview at annamiracles.com. If you go to annamiracles.com, and you press the link to videos and audios, I think you'll find the conversation with Rua Bull to be very inspiring for you. But just once again, in sum, you follow your calling. More and more places will open up to you that can support you. And if the places in your geographical location don't fully support you, just know why you're there and what you're there to receive, and release the rest and look for support in a bigger venue that you might have to have access to via phone or internet due to your location. But there'll be beautiful lessons for you if you're called to be in that place.
Well, I have a question about that because I do take issue because I have friends that are, you know, lots of friends that are metaphysically oriented, and if you will, to use that term. And I met a minister who has similar gifts to what I have, and there's something within me that feels the need to, I don't want to say defend, but to expand their viewpoint of what's right. Meaning.
So this is coming, yeah, so here's what's going to happen. This is coming from one or two or both places. Partly it's coming from your gift. There's a calling to share with others so that they may benefit. And so you share, but you don't get to choose who benefits or how they benefit or who doesn't
right.
benefit. And
okay.
so your gift is to share. But then whether they reject you or receive you, they're doing what they need to do. And you're just there to share your gift.
Okay, I think that's what I was trying to get at. I wasn't sure why I was sure in one hand why I ended up in front of this minister, and I had a very, very positive experience to it. The only thing that I had took issue with is when I mentioned, I said, well, the kind of training and support I received has been from the metaphysical community, was immediately viewed as the wrong way to do it. And I take issue, I never know how to respond because I want to respect another person's point of view. And I wanted to ask the two of you if you feel a response of, because I feel the need to respond.
If you feel the need to respond, then that's your calling
right.
to respond. So you can respond in a respectful way and say, if this is true for you, I honor and respect your viewpoint. It is not my viewpoint. I simultaneously honor and respect my viewpoint, which I live my life by. Metaphysical realities can be highly beneficial, and you know, whatever you want to say about that, there's no need to argue. This person can have his point of view. You can have your point of view. And if you feel you wish to share that, there's a lot of energy in that. Personally, if I were you, I'd share it. I wouldn't believe there's no guarantee on what response you'll get, positive, negative, nothing. But if you feel for whatever reason you want to share it and experience the response, however it comes to you, that's the opportunity. There's something in you calling out for the response that's going to come to you so you can sort out what you want to do with it.
I think you hit on the main point is I get disturbed when a person assumes that if you're having those kinds of experiences that they all must be negative when they're not. So I think your point about I'm feeling a strong sense to share my positive experiences.
Yes, and
it just doesn't ring true that it's all negative. It just, and not in my life anyway.
Yeah, and so you want to make that known. And at some point,
right.
you might just prefer to make it known to those who are really hungry and yearning and want to drink from your waters. But by making it known to someone who has a different viewpoint, you will strengthen what you know inside you.
Okay, thank you.
Also,
mm-hmm.
also, if you're dealing with somebody that's Bible-oriented, I'm not sure where it is. I think it may be in the New Testament. But somewhere in that Bible,
mm-hmm.
it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Yes, I found part of it in Corinthians. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's Corinthians, which includes prophecy.
Right.
Yeah. Well, if that's not metaphysical, I don't know what is.
I know, Rhonda, that's exactly where I'm coming from. And one of the things that I wanted to, last thing I wanted to ask you, since you mentioned culture, one of the ways I've maybe thought about discussing this with people with different point of view is framing it as a cultural issue. Like, you know, and that I did get a chance to mention that in terms of, okay, well, conventional Christian tradition, which I grew up in, there's a cultural viewpoint that comes when it comes to spiritual gifts.
And I think you're very wise to see it in that way, cultural different understandings. And if you make your point to that particular person or community, and some understand it and some don't, or even if they all don't, what's going to happen is you're still putting it into the universe. It's going to get clearer and deeper and more profound for you, and there are people out there who need to receive that from you. So it's like, here's your training place. And those who really need to hear this from you will end up reading, because you'll write something about it, or you'll speak something about it, or someone will just happen to be in a room the one day you make the comment. Others will need this from you. When there's that much fire propelling you, you might get responses you don't like from some people, but you are in service, and others who need you will find their way to you, is my personal belief and experience of the synchronicity of life.
I want to add that my benefit in going into this environment, which is why I'm being called, is I feel that there's a certain manner in which, for lack of a better way of calling them, conventional Christians discern, that I have not learned yet when it comes to my spiritual gifts. So I just wanted to add that, because I was very clear on why the synchronicities that were involved that brought me to this place. It was a very, very synchronistic event. So, you know, I sat down in front of a conventionally trained minister who has similar gifts that I have, and use those with me right on the spot.
Beautiful.
Well, it was interesting. It was I did get a lot out of the experience. So I just wanted to add that positive.
I think that we are vehicles either for evolution or de-evolution, and we start to think life is about us, but really we're the vehicles for life itself to evolve.
Exactly.
And you're being called to someone with a different viewpoint, because evolution wants to bring you two together and wants to create something new, in my perspective, and this is wonderful. And I again want you to consider going to annamiracles.com and listening to Rua Bull over in the audios and videos, because she's a real trooper who's marched through many communities where she came in with something different, because she's very spiritual and metaphysical.
Okay. Thank you so much. It really helped me out a lot. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
There's another skill that you can develop, too, in those situations.
Mm-hmm.
If you recognize that they're using the same gifts that you're using, or they're using gifts of some sort or the other,
right,
which actually are talents as opposed to gifts, because they've been spending a lot of time developing it. But
right.
All you have to do is say you've got clairvoyance in your head, metaphysical term, okay?
Yes, I did. We did discuss that.
Exactly. So what you do with them is you don't say clairvoyance. Okay?
Right.
What you say to them is, okay, you've given me this example. What do you call it? Because it's all the same stuff. It's just got different names.
That's
right.
A really good point, Reverend Rhonda,
it
just to bring it to their language, and then we might find out we really aren't in disagreement. We're reacting to words.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Well, I think that might be it, too, because I've been asking to learn what the language is within that particular, the conventional Christian culture.
Okay, so
do they have a word for that? You know, hearing spirit like I do? I don't know what it is. But anyway, that's
the whole thing. You know, don't worry about whether or not they're going to get your message. Don't worry about the fact that you're right. Okay? You're on an exploratory mission.
Right.
And you describe what it is, and you let them label it.
Okay.
Could you pop me your email, because I'm thinking of a church in Hawaii that I think really honors someone like you, and just maybe you want to connect in some way. I might be all wrong, but I'm getting a really big yes on to send you their information. I'm not involved in them personally. I have a friend who is, but if you want, you can pop me an email and just go through the annamiracles.com website, and I'll connect you with that. If you're interested, yeah.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay, time flies. Time flies when you're having fun. It's break time, everybody. Time to get something to drink and go to the bathroom and whatever. I will mute your phone, Lori, so you don't have to worry about background noises.
Okay.
And we'll be back in 10 minutes.
Wonderful.
Next up, Pat. Next up, Patty Griffin with Chief.
Chief had been out of the army for 15 years or more. She was still marching up and down that street just like it was a walk in a war. They called him the chief because he was Indian, with a name that stood behind his back. In the summer he marched with that in his shoes, and soles of his feet turned black. And soles of his feet turned black. His hands wouldn't work the machinery, and his brain told him what to say. Hell of a laugh and somebody's laugh up and down the street all day. Tony Apple put through the paces, running like a dog on a track. The wheels keep it going as fast as you get there. You don't ever get to go back. I don't really know what I'm doing, just watching myself in some play. The actor looks like she wants to go home and lie in a bed all day. Yeah, lie in a big bed all day. Her hands won't work, the machinery, her brain tells them what to say. A hell of a laugh and somebody's right up and down the street all day.
Rhonda Smith with some special announcements and the weekly numerology report.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awake Now What? I hope you're having a good time. Our main website is theawakeningcenter.com. Lots of great information over there. And then our social site is theawakenet.org. And there's blogs, and there's articles, and there's a voice, video, text chat over there for everyone to enjoy. And we have some partners over there that are working with us. Shelley Dressel, and her website is goddesslight.net. Then there's Virginia O'Hara, and her website is theoharaconsulting.com. We also have a YouTube channel that we want to grow. So if you would go over to Tan Unity at YouTube and make us a favorite or whatever is done over there and get more and more people onto there. And if there's anything that you would like to see there, make sure that you drop an email to Rhonda@theawakeningcenter.com and we'll be happy to oblige. Now, the numerology. This is an interesting week because you are changing from the underlying energies of November, which is a 23-5. It's all about freedom and change. And, of course, it's underlying that is the 11 of the Master Messenger, So all of those changes and stuff that you were dealing with would have had messages for you to sort them out and find direction. Now, the last 3 days of this month are vibrating to a 84-12-3. So you're moving into manifestation big time from spirit level, as long as you are who you are. Today is a 33. So be prepared to connect to your Christed consciousness, to take the high road, to be in service, because you're really only free when you are in service, because you're not all hung up on yourself. Tomorrow is a 25/7, but it's got the 11, 2911, behind it. So you're going to be getting messages about how to stay balanced in the changes and then manifest your spirit in your physical body. And then you end the month with a 26/8, which is all about being balanced in love, understanding that unconditional love is inclusive, not exclusive. And it doesn't mean that you cannot have personal love. And those in balance are where your source of manifestation is. Then you move to December, which is a 24/6. So you're going to be super sensitive to what's under the surface all month long. And it's going to be sort of like a burr under your saddle. So pay attention. The month itself is a 12/3. So again, it's about you. This entire year has been about you getting in touch with you and believing what is appropriate for you and not what everybody else has told you. The first through the fourth is a 16/7. So again, guess what? That good old seven, manifesting spirit in the physical. And it's about approaching everything from your highest level of consciousness, adding in the love, and then manifesting the spirit. Wednesday is a 25/7. Same thing that Monday was. So again, it's about being balanced through the changes so that you can manifest spirit in the physical. Thursday is the 26/8. Same thing as Wednesday, or Tuesday, excuse me. So again, it's about manifesting. You want to manifest good stuff? Then be balanced in love. Reach into that dark place, that's the potential, and manifest what you desire. Friday is a 27/9, so it's about being balanced in spirit and physical. And then completing anything that needs to be completed and preparing to move forward in service. And then Saturday is a 28/10/1. So be prepared for all kinds of ideas and what you might want to do and where you might want to go, because December is the last month of the year of being yourself. And so you have planted the seeds in October, and, well, you've crystallized them in October. You've planted them in November, and now you just have to take care of them so that what you desire will begin manifesting in January. So have a good week. Have a lot of fun. That's the important point. Remember, love is joy. So if you're not laughing, look at the situation a different way. And now back to our show with Dr. Lori Moore and Rhonda Smith. Have a good one.
Hi, Lori.
Hi, Rhonda.
We're back.
We're back. Hey, I wanted to just take a minute to let people know what my services are when I'm not on the phone, should they want more support, because
yeah,
I do
definitely.
Offer.
That's one of the things I wanted you to do.
Thank you. I offer counseling and coaching by phone as well as in person, but if you don't live in the Santa Cruz, California area or the Kalakekua, Hawaii area, then I do work with people around the globe and all over the USA by phone. And I help people to eliminate self-defeating habits and to make transitions and to create what it is they're really wishing to create in all areas of life, personal, relational. I love to help people. And the way to make an appointment with me is to call me at 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. I also help people with their animals because I speak to animals. And you can also arrange for a private reading with one of your animal friends. And I do lots of seminars and teleseminars now. And you can get information to all of that at annamiracles.com. That's annamiracles.com. If you live in a city that is not playing my TV show on your public access station, there's a list of 30 cities that are going to be playing it in 2011 at success-love-now.com. And you want it to play there, pop me an email. success-love-now.com has a list under About. And the link about Dr. Lori, where the TV show Universal Love and Animal Communication will be playing in 2011. If you want it in your city and it's not already listed, pop me an email and we might be able to get it on there.
Very good. You're a busy lady.
Full.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, since we were talking about animals, I have got a question here in the room.
Yes.
Sue would like to ask, if you're going through a relationship problem, what is the best way to ensure that the dog is not going to get ulcers? I mean, there's nothing to deal with. The animals around us are so affected. How can we make it easier on them?
Well, the way actually that we make it easier on the animals is to make it easier on ourselves, because animals tend to be very empathetic. And so if we can create an environment in which we keep returning ourselves to peace, forgiveness, love, while a relationship is having a transition or a challenge, that is truly the best way to help your animals.
Interesting. Okay, so what you're saying is if you keep your energies okay, they'll be okay.
Yes, yes. Now, animals like us each have their own learning curves, their own karmas, etc. But if you'll notice if you're keeping your energy in a good place, and the 8 steps at success-love-now.com really teach you how to do this no matter what's happening, your animals will benefit greatly. They really will.
Okay, and that's success.love, or what is
it? Oh, it's success-love-now.com, and you can sign up for a teleconference, or you can purchase a very inexpensive audio with the 8 steps.
Okay, is that the one that had the TV show listing on it?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Because we just had what was the address of the TV show posted in the room, and that's why I thought it was the same one.
Yes, they have to go to, it says About Dr. Lori link, and then scroll down, and at the bottom is the TV show info.
Great. Okay, we got that taken care of. Yep, success-love-now. All righty, we got Martinez back here. Martinez, you there?
Yes, I am. Hopefully.
Okay. Hooray,
stumping.
No more garble. Yeah.
Well, believe it or not, I am on Skype.
Oh, interesting.
So that's, yeah, so I'm calling via the net. So if there's 100 people in this coffee shop downloading music or something, then I get lost. Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that I want to ask Lori and or both of you is, I thought about our human history dating back from the beginning of civilization, at the best that we know. And and this knowledge, I think I just have this feeling, more than knowledge, feeling that we had everything that we're searching for now again. And you mentioned, Lori, synchronicity, harmonious, those peace, love, all those beautiful things. And so could it be that that negative energy, I think you mentioned negative, or the separation, that there's like a divide. It's like somebody's trying, I don't want to put it on people, but somehow this knowledge of this we used to have at the beginning, and somehow it got separated from all of us in so many ways. And I think that's what we're kind of like evolving. I'm hearing more people talking about, you know, solutions to our problems. And but I guess what I'm saying is, do you think that there is some overt control of this past knowledge? They have it and they don't want to give it out. So, and then we as people are somehow being gifted, like that person that you talked about earlier, or who was talking earlier, that somehow we're getting it back, and then now we're just trying to form a way to group together as a whole again, not separate, but as a whole, that will bring back harmony. So that's one. And then the other is, what tools do we have that you know of, in terms of bringing harmony and synchronicity to our surroundings?
There are communities of people throughout time who have accessed deeper levels of harmony and peace among relations and within. Some tribes have come to, or communities, I should say, have become better skilled at accessing an inner peace, some at a communal peace, some at a combination. There's beings on the planet today. I'm thinking of a tribe in New Zealand. I'm thinking of a tribe about whom was written a book called The Continuum Concept. I'm thinking historically about Lemuria, although there's discrepancy as to was Lemuria real or not. I don't even get into the discrepancy, whether it was or not, either the reality, I feel it was the reality, or the concept. But on and on and on, there's brothers and sisters who come from communities among us that have been abused, and, you know, even right here in our country, there's cultures that have been closer to the earth and the elements and the animals and the insects and the plants that know a lot. And then there's the communities like the bees themselves, species of insects and animals that know a lot. So to come into new ways of being, we owe it to everyone to respect and learn from these cultures. And in this love and respect of rebonding with cultures that honor and have reverence for the natural world, new levels of attunement to our inner knowing is born. We can't have that attunement if we're denying other species. It comes through a love and union and cooperation with other species and with members of our own human species who have arrived at wisdoms that we've all to some degree lost. So our hearts really can access what we need to know and bring back so much wisdom, and it can just come through the cells. We can be sitting outside and vibrating with an insect and suddenly know a lot about science without a book in front of us. So as we turn more and more to gratitude and service, this helps. And as we become more able to be in the present with what truly is, beyond our judgment. So if I'm feeling really sad that I can step so deeply into my consciousness sadness, it takes me deeper until I find a power birthing forth of something else, like a joy or bliss. Or if I can step deep into discomfort of my growing pains or a perceived challenge, rather than act on it, suddenly I go deeper and deeper into spaciousness. Something beyond me wants to be born through me. So I really, really suggest people study these 8 steps, because these success-love-now.com steps, because these 8 steps do access us, do take us into a harmony that brings a soul knowing, and it can start to happen in community. We've posted some audios of community and process up on that same website. So there's tools, and there's inner knowing that's just wanting to work its way through us as we give ourselves to service, we give ourselves to love, we give ourselves to being so in the present with what really is, not our judgment. Something deeper is birthed forward as we make it our intention to be a vehicle for world peace. This all births forth something very, very, very precious.
Well, thank you. That's
thank
wonderful.
You. Thank
Can
you.
I add my two cents? Yeah, basically, first of all, I don't think civilization is civilized. Never has been. Okay? We got all these wonderful tools and so on and so forth, but the whole idea of being civilized, being respectful, being in gratitude, all those kinds of stuff, that's civility, okay? And the whole thing with harmony and the separation. The old paradigm, we were playing the game of separation, and there was a reason for it. It was part of the divine plan. Because we have all of this wonderful diversity now simply because we played the game of separation and we all became individuals. We closed the circle now, as the Native Americans would say. What we're doing is closing the circle. Yes, we had all the harmony and the peace and this, that, and the other thing, and we got bored. So we got curious about separation. And the separation brought us to judgment. Mine is better than yours is, blah, 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 blah. And as the Mesoamericans would say, you know, you dream your reality. Well, we've been dreaming a nightmare for a long time. Now we know it's a nightmare. Now we can go back to dreaming what is, but the beauty of it is we're not doing it from naivete. We're doing it by consciousness. Choice. And that's what the whole program was about. And that's what this planet's about, is choice, free will. So that's my two cents.
Thank you. Well said. And I wanted to say that Sue Hines, the astrologer, goes into depth about this and how this relates to our upcoming year, also at AnnaMiracles.com under the audios and videos. I had an interview with Sue Hines, the astrologer, on this topic. So AnnaMiracles.com under audios and videos. You might want to listen to what Sue Hines has to say as well.
Okay. All right.
Which is in alignment with what Reverend Rhonda was sharing.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm now not going to say any more. I'm just going to be listening, and I'm smiling, and I feel really wonderful. It's beautiful.
Thank you for being on the show with us. It's been wonderful to have you.
Yes. And
okay.
Thank you. Thank you. Alrighty then. Interesting things have come up. You know, like forgiveness, love, harmony. How do you help people to understand that they're not being selfish, that they need to be self-centered, and bring themselves to that harmony, that forgiveness, that love, that trust? Because until they do, nothing's going to change.
Well, as people discover more about how to return themselves to state of harmony, they'll find a natural inclination goes towards generating that in a sharing way with others. Now, sharing for some can be active. I'm an active person by nature, so I like to be out on the radio, giving talks, writing books. I don't need to. I don't have to. That is what I call fun. That's my enjoyment. Mm-hmm. Now, someone else might just like to be at home taking care of their children, or someone else might want the life of a monk, just a lot of meditation all day. Someone might be a sports player. What I'm saying is there's no right or, oh, there's no specific way. It's more what we vibrate. So as we take ourselves back to harmony, this is naturally shared with those around us. And one of my greatest teachers for this has been Gangaji. And mm-hmm. what I came to deepen as an awareness I had when I met Gangaji, but it deepened in our connecting because she embodies this so profoundly, is when we surrender to the experience we're having right here, right now in the moment, fully through the body, into the spirit, through the physical, into the emotional, into the spirit, into the universal, we become harmony. Even she worked with people in prisons, and when they sat with their anger or the energy that had caused them to act in ways that harmed others in the past, when they stopped acting out on it or running from it or judging it or discussing it and just sat in the embodiment of that energy, new energies were brought forth, new depths of peace and joy. So what we're looking for, it can't come through berating ourselves or forcing ourselves. And unfortunately, in many religions, I love all religions. I feel I'm a bit of every religion and no religion, but unfortunately what happened is so many religions became misunderstood and confused and became about right and wrong rather than inspiration. And so when we find that which we do not feel is preferable, maybe it's jealousy or maybe it's a warlike energy, it's all in all of us. None of us are above it. No, some of us would never murder. Some of us would never harm a fly. But that energy belongs to everyone. And when we can sit in it, we stop judging others just naturally. We something deeper comes forward. So this forgiveness, this being such that emanates something that offers more peace becomes our vibration. And that goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And along the way, there's always another little edge to get caught on and be back into competition or resistance or something not peaceful. And if we move into that and find out what that is, we go deeper, deeper into a real peace. And if anyone would like to call in, and I will take you through this, what I am talking about, I'll actually help you go through this. If you're feeling challenged and you just can't stop being stressed or depressed or angry or jealous or fearful, give a call in, and we'll make this real. I will assist you going through this process to refine something deeper, a deeper peace.
Wonderful. Yeah, that the whole thing is people are hung up on, I think they're afraid because they've been so programmed to be afraid of emotions.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yes, that happens for a lot of people. Yes. And
that's what makes you human.
Yes, and our emotions are wonderful doorways. If we don't act mm-hmm. out on them or run from them, if we can be fully them, they are doorways into much deeper inspired energies, first personal and then deeper than that universal.
Yep. I think we may have a guinea pig. Area code 323, are you there?
Hi, this is Amy.
Hi, Amy.
Hi. Dr. Lori, are you answering any animal questions or reading animal readings?
Not right now.
Okay.
Yeah, that's not what we're focused on right now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, people can call me up and book private sessions for animal readings, and then I can talk to you in depth about your animal and yourself and really help you in a long format of half an hour at least. And once again, call me at 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. 877-7007 if you would like to receive assistance in that way. But we're going to keep the show focused just in a natural direction of where we are. And if anyone would like to call in and experience what I'm talking about, you're having some conflict, an emotion is bothering you, you can't find an emotion, you can't shift out of something, I'd love to offer you some time on the radio for that right now.
Well, I'll be your guinea pig.
Perfect.
I was adopted, right?
Yes.
I'll give you a little backstory here.
Yes.
And astrologically, with the birth date that I was told was mine, I was air signs all over the place. Gemini, sun sign, Libra ascendant, so on and so forth. And by the time I was 18, I was basically Mr. Spock. Okay.
Uh-huh.
I finally grew out of that. But I believe that, you know, my body was there just to keep my head off the floor. And so I did a little investigating, and it turns out that I was actually born 2 days earlier.
Oh.
And I ran the chart, and in the first place, my ascendant was actually Cancer, which is an emotional sign.
Yes.
And above that, my moon was in Libra in what I thought was my chart. And now I find it's in Scorpio. Now, that piece of knowledge, you know, has basically brought up a situation where I need to evaluate emotions. You know, and I'm attempting to, okay, you know, what am I feeling with this and so on? But I'm really having a struggle. And the biggest thing I have a struggle with, and it's got to be that Scorpio moon, is letting go of past resentments.
Okay, so, Rhonda, where is that resentment feeling that keeps coming into your experience? Where in your body is that feeling? Because you know you're having it, so how do you know you're having it? Where is it registering in your body?
Well, I find myself feeling anger, my back tenses, you know, my usual physical reactions.
Okay, and so when you're feeling what you're calling resentment, you're feeling back tension and anger. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where is the anger? Is it in your back or somewhere else?
Seems to be pretty much all focused in my back.
Okay. So right now, give 100% awareness. Bring your consciousness right into that place in your back. Just let go of all you know about that. And simply be in that energy. Even forget what it's called or its astrological relationship. Just be in that sensation. Just be there now.
No problem.
Okay. And we live in a fast-paced society where people like to hear a lot of talking, but we're going to have some silence. I think a lot of people listening love silence. So we're going to have some silence as you do this. And
okay.
You just be in your back and keep being present, opening, being in that energy in your back.
Interesting.
What happened? What did you do?
I am finding myself doing a lot of avoidance, which is unusual for me.
Okay. So bring your consciousness right into that place that you're calling avoidance. Be in that. And what's happening in this moment?
A lot of tension. It's moving up my neck.
Okay.
Just, you know, crazy stuff.
Okay, be present with the sensations of the tension, the crazy stuff. Don't fight it, don't run. Just be in this wave of energy as it proceeds.
Man, I had a lot of stuff stored there.
Okay, that's good. And be there in that lot of stuff. What What's happening in this moment?
It's starting to release and I'm starting to cry.
Wonderful. And just stay with that and let it take you wherever it takes you. Just be there.
Okay, it's gone.
Do you feel any resentment?
No.
Can you think about a situation in the past where you couldn't let go of the resentment and find out what happens right now when you think of that?
Absolutely nothing.
Great. What would you like to bring to the situation instead of resentment? Joy, bliss, neutrality? It's up to you. Because now you have a blank slate, so you can be a creator. What would you like to bring?
Joy is great.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so why don't you right now imagine that situation and you just bring the joy. Feel if that's possible.
Oh, yeah, I can always do joy.
Okay, and does it feel clear now, like it's not pushing anything else down? It's just a real joy.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's what I'm talking about really being with what is rather than what we think should be. And then we can just stay with what is. We don't need to create anything. But if we're the creating type, for every yin, there's a yang opportunity, we get to bring in something. And joy is always an enjoyable choice.
Oh, yeah, I like that. Yeah, my kid likes that in particular. My inner child is the one that needs to resolve these issues.
Yeah. Good. I wanted to keep us on that track we had started. And I appreciate Amy, and I believe she had called in the last show too, and it was very courageous of her to call in with the animal question, and I do appreciate her, but I did want to keep us on that track that we had started and be with that. Given now that we've completed that, I don't know if I've chased her away, but if Amy wants to call back, I'd be happy to answer an animal question now. It's more, we can start a new phase of the call, but I didn't want to just interrupt what we were talking about.
Yeah, one of the things I do want to say is you mentioned surrender.
Yes.
And so many people have this negative reaction to surrender.
It's been given a bad rap because the words surrender and submission were misused, and it turned into this thing of somebody having power over someone. That's not what we're talking about. What I'm talking about is being present to what is. I'm not talking about, oh, somebody's going to shoot me, I'll hold my hands up and let them. It's not like that.
Yeah.
I'm talking about, let's think of what another word could be that wouldn't be so bring up, you know, those kind
what
of
what I usually say with that is surrender is not about giving up. It's about giving in to who you are.
Thank you. There you go. That's what I'm talking about. Thank you very much. Wonderful articulation for that.
Yep. Yeah, it's really funny because, you know, everybody goes, oh, I can't surrender. I'm a loser if I surrender. No, you're not.
Who's surrendered are the trees. Look how wise and old the trees are. Who's surrendered are the animals. It's surrendering to the truth of what is. It's anything else is just a big ego fabrication which separates us from ourselves, and it ultimately really is kind of sad. It just brings a lot of misery. Yeah.
Yeah, Kathy wanted me to tell you that process is awesome.
Good. Well, it's you know, I've learned it from so many teachers who've just used different words in different ways, and I think it really is in the Bible and the Quran and the Bhagavad Gita and the Mayan scriptures and all kinds of scriptures. Just it's if you look deeply into all those, it's just presented in different ways. So thank the universe for that process. Yes.
Yeah, they're all saying the same thing. They're just using different language appropriate to the culture, you know?
Yeah.
So we have a call here from area code 402. Are you there?
I am. This is Gabrielle. Hi.
Hi, Gabrielle.
Hi, Gabrielle.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Pretty good. I was listening to the gift you gave to Rhonda, and I thought maybe you can help me too.
Yes, I can. What's your situation?
I think that because of my upbringing, I wasn't adopted, but I did have a pretty rough childhood. And I'm not quite sure if it's where I'm at, but there must be a fear, and the way I'm dealing with it is being in control.
Okay, what are you being in control of?
I actually have this, I am controlling in a lot of ways around me. Things have to be a certain way for me by my rules.
Okay, give me a very specific example, please.
Okay, I don't believe that anybody can take care of my animals the way I do.
So does that mean when you go out of town that... or
I have great anxiety.
There you go. Where do you hold the anxiety in your body?
Probably in my solar plexus.
Okay, and you said probably, so check in. Is it in your solar plexus? Is that where you hold the anxiety?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you feel the anxiety right now when you think about going away and leaving your animals
mm-hmm.
with someone else? Okay. So 100% give your presence to that area in your solar plexus where that anxiety grips and gets a hold of you when you're away from your beloved animals for whom you wish good care. And really breathe fully and bring yourself right to that energy. Even when it gets kind of rock-like and strong, you bring yourself into it. You be in it as it.
It's
what are you experiencing?
Right up to my throat chakra.
Okay. Continue to be present with that. And what are you experiencing, Gabrielle?
It's a pretty big lump in my throat now.
Okay, good. And just be 100% present in the lump in your throat and find out what that is. And what's happening now, Gabrielle?
It's releasing to somewhat. I have to work on it a little bit more.
Don't work on it. Just be present with it. Let it do its own work. That's the control that you think you have to work on it, which you mentioned.
Okay.
So I'm taking your guidance to me to help you. So be 100% present in that. Whatever it is, whatever the experience is, just be there.
Okay.
What's happening right now in this moment?
I think that it's releasing some.
Okay, stay present and find out what happened.
It's less of a lump. It's easier to breathe through.
Good. So be present in the less of the lump. That's easier to breathe through and find out what experience comes.
I need to speak more of my truth.
Oh, good. Okay. Is there something you need to speak right now to me or Reverend Rhonda or anyone who's cared for your animals? Or yourself?
Yeah, I think I need to less worry about them. They'll be all right.
Okay. Where is the worry stored? Is there any worry in your body right now?
I go into my heart.
Good. So be present in your heart and find out what occurs. Thank you for being so open with us.
So now I'm releasing.
Now what?
I am going to cry.
Okay, good. Crying's a beautiful, beautiful act. So you cry and be present with the crying in your heart.
Well, the lump is gone.
Yes. And what is there? What experience are you having?
I'm still releasing some, so.
Beautiful. Be with that. Okay. Just keep being with that.
I think I bring that right back to my childhood.
Okay. And what does that mean? Are you having a memory of your childhood?
Yes, somewhat of a broken heart there.
Okay, so be 100% in that broken heart. And what's happening in this moment?
I am looking at forgiveness.
Okay. Okay, so just be there with whatever of the broken heart is there and whatever forgiveness is naturally there. Be with that.
Mm-hmm.
What is in your heart in this moment?
It's lighter.
Okay, be in the lightness. And what's happening now? What's your experience?
I feel pretty okay.
Yeah, there you go. So when you think about leaving your animals with someone who wants to care and provide for them, how do you feel right now?
I think I'll be fine this time.
Good. Wonderful.
It's
thank
a big
you.
Thing.
Beautiful.
It's like, yes. They're going to be fine.
Yes, your voice sounds so light now. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's also
very
a big trust. Yeah, it's a big trust issue for me in the past.
Oh, yeah.
Somehow you've gotten back into your trust by allowing the
yeah.
other aspects to come up just now and come and go.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very good. And that.
I've been consciously working on that trust part already because I knew I had to have something to do with it. So I feel a lot better now. Thank you.
Yay. This
yeah.
is good news.
Hooray.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jesse
thank
the
you
cat.
Very much.
Jesse
thank
the cat just walked in and he sent a very loving meow to you. He was involved
oh,
in this.
You.
Yeah. He was sending you energy during. Yeah. Thank you, Jesse. Thank you, Gabrielle.
Thank you. Thank
you
very much.
Thank you, Gabrielle.
Thanks.
For being
bye.
So brave. Bye-bye. Okay, we got a question here from Regina, the one that called in. She says, please name some strategies that you've witnessed really help enhance trust in oneself.
Well, we just witnessed it live when
yep.
Gabrielle was willing to be 100% present. This is the kind of surrender, we redefined surrender, that we're speaking about. Be 100% present with what she was really feeling. It took her through a few different layers of experience, and then she found a natural trust. It's there all along. So it's not that we have to create trust. We simply have to remove what's in the way of trust. And by being present with whatever is coming through us, it naturally dissolves and takes us back to trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always equated that to like you got a beaver dam across the stream.
Yes.
And once you remove the beaver dam, the stream goes back to its natural course. Our natural course is to be in joy and love.
Yes, yes.
So just get rid of the beaver dams.
Yes. when I had, also, if we need some affirmation from the outside, the animals are wonderful messengers of this. And when
oh, yeah.
I first started speaking to the animals and I had doubt, which is a good thing, because if we don't have doubt, we just trust anything blindly, I
mm-hmm.
asked the animals to find ways to let me know if I was really speaking to them. And I asked specifically one time a little salamander while I was on a walk, and the salamander scooted up my body and got on my shoulder and accompanied me for a lot of the walk. And, yeah, very cute, sweet, fun way to help me trust. And another time I went to the water's edge, the first time I got to Molokai, it was before I, now I spend lots and lots of time teaching in Hawaii, but Molokai was new to me then. I had no idea if there were whales there. And we got there, and a cat and a dog ran up to us, escorted us immediately to the water's edge, and I called out, you know, if I'm really talking to the whales long distance and I'm not insane, let me know. And immediately this whale jumped up, and the tail was splashing for 30 minutes. So I could go on and on about animal stories, and you can all go to animmiracles.com and order the book, The Cat's Reincarnation and Unconditional Trust and Love, but also do it for yourself. In addition to surrender, another way to build trust is ask the animals. Ask the animals to help you, and ask that you be receptive to their help, because they're wonderful guides back to trust.
Yeah, and I think that's a big key. Ask yourself to be receptive, because if you fear your power, you know, fear who you are, it doesn't matter who says what to you, you're not going to believe it.
Yeah. Good point.
So,
very good point.
You know,
yes.
Being willing to be receptive. Give it the benefit of the doubt. You know, that's how I got over believing I wasn't worth anything. It's basically all these people were saying to me, I'm so talented, I'm so this and I'm so that and so the other, and I just sat there and said, yeah, right. and then I said, well, wait a minute. There's more of them than there is of me. They might be right. Yeah. And I gave him the benefit of the doubt.
Wow, I love it. I'm glad you had those good reminders around you so that then you could find your gifts and talents and trust them. That's awesome news. Yay. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. It is a dynamic situation. So you can ask to be of service, but you need to also ask to be receptive of service.
Yes, yes, yes.
Because that's the flow. That's getting out of victimhood.
Yes. Anything we're asking for is such a good point. We must also ask to be receptive to the guidance or help or experience when it comes.
Mm-hmm. No matter how it comes. You know,
how it comes, and that lets the universe gift you and play with you and utilize you in many wonderful ways that we can't know by our own willpower. Yes, yes.
Exactly. Yeah, because, I mean, when you think about it, yes, we are spirit in a bodysuit having a physical experience. And that's fine because that's what it's all about, okay? Getting understanding through the experience. That's how Source, and there's what, 6 billion, 800 million individuals on the planet now? So there's 6 billion, 800 million different aspects of Source.
Wow. Here. Yeah.
Now, if that ain't variety, I don't know what is.
A lot of variety here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no wonder we do have some conflicts, but I think we can solve them.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Yeah, it's like, you know, you were talking to Regina about, you know, there may be, maybe the person you're talking to ain't going to get it, but people standing around will.
Yes.
And
yes.
A good example of this, and some of the folks have heard it, is when I was working at a business down here, I'm in the middle of the Bible Belt, right?
Yeah.
So we got Southern Baptists all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And a guy and I were saying they're talking philosophy.
Uh-huh.
And finally I said to him, and this is, you know, telling it in their language kind of thing.
Yeah.
Do you believe we're all children of God? Of course I do. Well, then, all of these disagreements and wars and everything else is really nothing other than sibling rivalry.
Yeah, it's true. It really is true.
Don't you think we ought to grow up? Yeah, and the guy I was talking to was struck dumb for a moment, and then he got this huge grin. And a woman sitting a couple of cubicles over sticks her head out and says, will you repeat that, please? And I didn't even know she was sitting there.
That's great.
So that's how it works.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to do the separation. Fine. But now it's time to stop playing that game because we got so good at it. We separated our physical self from our spirit self. Now it's time to bring them back together. Yeah. I mean, it's good to be good at something, but some things you don't really want to be good at, you know?
Yeah, we don't want to be good at tricking ourselves out of our humility or our reverence or our service. We don't want to be good at that. That's not helping. Our making our witness self out of balance with our union with the natural world is not something that we can continue to be good at, because it will continue to make things out of balance.
Yeah, and the thing is, everything is there to bring it back to balance.
Yes.
You know, I have to sit here and I wonder why people don't do hybrid cars. I mean, one of the reasons they don't is because they don't have somewhere to plug in. But one of the companies, and I can't remember which one, is now creating plug-in stations. So if you want to use your electric car and your battery's going, plug it in downtown.
Yeah.
And there's prototypes for zero gravity cars. There's prototypes for air cap cars. You know, there's all kinds of other ways. You don't have to be stuck on gas.
Yeah.
But that's not going to move until the people change their thinking about cars.
Yeah.
I don't care about a car. I mean, it's basically, if it gets me from point A to point B and doesn't break down too often, I'm a happy camper.
Uh-huh.
I could care less what it looks like or what its name brand is.
Uh-huh.
However, people have to stop. And I'm not sure, but I have a sense that the reasons that's going on is because people tend to value themselves in terms of their physical possessions.
Or it can be a substitute for something else missing, a little mind journey,
yeah.
And identification is a distraction from a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at my fancy car, don't look at me. Yes. Oh well. Everybody's
and then when we all just start looking at the one love or the one universe, and we even start to lose the need for that identification, and
mm-hmm.
we look for ways to be here that enhance life for all beings.
Yep, that's the whole thing. And basically what we're attempting to do as a group consciousness, I think, is move from me to we.
Mm-hmm.
And the only difference between the two is M or W, and W is just enough by damn.
Good point. Not much difference, yeah.
No. And the thing is, if you are willing to move to we,
yeah,
we includes I.
It includes...
You can't
yeah.
have we without I.
Right, it includes all the I's, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, this is the whole thing. Energy healers saying, I have a question about electric. It's created with coal and natural glass or other things that have a carbon footprint. How is that better than gas?
This is a question say that again, please.
Yeah, actually, I just noticed we're running out of time, but she has a question about electricity. It's created with coal or natural gas or other things that have a carbon footprint. How is that better than gasoline?
I didn't make any points about gasoline that I remember. So do you want to
answer
that?
No, I said something about gas.
Okay, so you answer.
Yeah, the whole thing is, they have a carbon footprint. There are ways to make sure that carbon footprint isn't there. And there's towns that are doing, like Eagle Dancing just said, there's towns that are doing windmills and selling back to the collective for electricity and so on. It's all a matter of choice. So, anywho, I just looked at the time, and I need to say thank you.
Thank you. I'm very happy. Yes, thank you for having me on. I always love this show. It's so fun. And I do want to remind people, if they want to make some personal transformations, to call me and book an appointment. Get the support. Don't put it off. It's 831-477-7007. That's 831-477-7007. Do a session and shift whatever is not working for you and free yourself up.
Yes, definitely. And Virginia O'Hara at VOHeroConsulting.com does internships, and I also, you can go to the AwakeningCenter.com. I do mentorships. So if you don't want to go through this alone, there are folks out there. You know, just give us a ring. All righty then. Thank you again.
Thank you, Rhonda.
And you have a marvelous week.
You too.
And holidays. Okay. Good night.